In this lecture, we will look at how we deal with stock and work in progress. We start with stock. Stock should always be properly valued. If it is not, an adjustment must be made to the accounting profits for tax purposes. Stock is valued at the end of an accounting period at the lower of cost or net realizable value. Cost is normally determined on a first-in, first-out basis. This means that the older stock is always deemed to be sold first, which leaves the newer stock in hand at the year-end. The net realizable value is normally the sale price less any costs to completion. Normally, net realizable value will be higher than cost, but in some cases it may produce a lower figure, in which case this lower figure must be used. The value of closing stock appears as an asset in the balance sheet and is deducted from purchases in the profit and loss account. This is logical because the purchases figure includes all the stock purchased in the period. Therefore, if there is any stock in hand at the year end, this should be deducted to leave the cost of stock actually consumed in the period. Stock valuations are particularly important on the cessation or transfer of trade. Section 173 ITOIA 2005 dictates how stock should be valued on a cessation or transfer of trade. If the account's valuation is different to the Section 173 valuation, a tax adjustment must be made. The valuation of stock depends on the identity of the buyer. The buyer could be A. a non-trader or a non-UK trader. B. a UK trader who is not connected with the vendor. Or C. a UK trader who is connected with the vendor. We will look at each of these in turn and identify how stock is valued in each instance. If stock on cessation or transfer of trade is being sold to somebody who is not a UK trader, the stock must be valued at its market value. HMRC see this as the last opportunity to tax the stock, because once it has left the UK tax net, HMRC is unlikely to get the opportunity to tax the stock again. The stock could be going to a foreign party, or it could be going to a UK individual for their own personal consumption. Consequently, HMRC uplifts the price of the stock to its market value at the date of transfer. By way of illustration, Jonathan is in business selling garden furniture. He ceases trading on the 31st of December and still has some garden chairs left in stock. The chairs cost £1,000 and have a retail selling price of £1,500. Jonathan agrees to sell the chairs to his friend Steve for £1,100. He duly records this sale in his final accounts. Under Section 175 ITOIA 2005, as the sale on the cessation of his trade is not to a UK-based trader, the sales figure that should be recorded in the accounts is the amount that the stock would have realised had it been sold for its market value. Therefore, Jonathan is treated as having sold the chairs for £1,500, not for the £1,100 actually received. This will give us an adjustment of £400, which must be added to the profit in order to arrive at the tax-adjusted profit. The same principle would apply if Jonathan ceased trading and took the chairs for his own personal use. Where the purchaser of the stock is a UK trader, the position is different. If the vendor is not connected with the buyer, i.e. we have a commercial arm's length sale, HMRC are normally happy to take the actual sales consideration to be the tax value of the stock, i.e. we simply tax the price that the stock was actually sold for. In theory, the sale price of the stock should be approximately its market value, as it is unlikely that a vendor would sell stock to an unconnected party at a value significantly different to the stock's true market value. As the trader will include actual consideration within sales, no adjustments will be required for tax purposes. There have been occasions when unconnected parties have manipulated the consideration to be paid and received for stock to obtain a tax advantage. Consequently, HMRC introduced the just and reasonable provisions within Section 176. Section 176 contains a just and reasonable apportionment provision in instances where stock is transferred along with other assets. Under Section 176, the value placed on stock has to be just and reasonable, i.e., an artificially higher or lower value cannot be placed on the stock to obtain a tax advantage. Typically, Section 176 will apply where a vendor sells the whole of his business to a purchaser and accepts an all-inclusive price for his stock, plant and machinery, goodwill and business premises. Where stock is sold on its own, these just and reasonable provisions will not apply. For example, assume that Colin wants to sell his sole trader business. He has trading losses brought forward of £100,000. These can only be offset against profits from the same trade. If the trade ceases, these losses will be wasted. Colin has found a buyer, Tony, and they have agreed a price of £800,000 for the whole of the business. The seller and buyer have agreed an overall price of £800,000, but they have not yet agreed a breakdown of the sale price, e.g., what proportion of the £800,000 was for stock, what proportion of it was for premises, goodwill, and machinery, etc. The approximate value of Colin's assets are as per your screen. He has business premises worth £480,000, goodwill worth £200,000, stock worth £50,000, and plant and machinery valued at £70,000. The cost of the stock was £40,000. If both parties agree this breakdown of the sales consideration, this would give Colin a trading profit on the sale of the stock of £10,000, i.e. £50,000 less £40,000. Tony would then acquire the stock at a cost of £50,000. However, it would be beneficial here for both parties for a higher value to be put on the stock, say £100,000. In Colin's books, a trading profit of £60,000, i.e. £100,000 less cost of £40,000, would then be created on the transfer of the stock. Colin can then offset the bought forward trading losses against this profit, so even though there is a profit on the sale of the stock, there will be no tax to pay. On the other hand, the buyer, Tony, will now have bought the stock for £100,000. This is artificially higher than its real value, thereby decreasing Tony's trading profits when he eventually sells the stock. The manipulation of sales consideration in this way is not allowed. Under the just and reasonable provisions in Section 176, we must reduce the price of the stock for tax purposes to its fair market value of £50,000. Turning now to transfers of stock between connected traders. Where there is a transfer of stock between connected UK traders, under Section 177, the transfer takes place at market value for trading income purposes. The seller is treated as selling the stock for its market value, and the buyer is similarly treated as buying the stock for that same value. Actual consideration is therefore ignored. A connected person here means one's spouse or civil partner, a relative, i.e. brother, sister, parent, child, etc., relatives of spouses, e.g. brother-in-law, spouses of relatives, e.g. son-in-law, and fellow business partners. Where the transfer is by or to a company, that company is connected to any persons who control it, i.e. persons owning over 50% of the company's shares. On a transfer of stock between connected persons, if the vendor's accounts do not include the market value of stock within the sales figure, a tax adjustment will need to be made. On a transfer of stock between connected UK traders, Section 178 EITOIA 2005 must be considered. Under Section 178, a joint election is possible between buyer and seller. The election substitutes the higher of either cost or actual consideration in place of market value. This election can only be made if the market value of the stock is higher than both cost and actual consideration. You will often see this election in instances where a sole trader business becomes a company, i.e. on an incorporation. By way of illustration, David Hodges is a sole trader. He runs a hardware shop. On the 1st of July 2010, David transferred his business to a newly formed company called Hodges Hardware Limited. David owns all the shares of Hodges Hardware Limited and is managing director. David's final balance sheet as a sole trader is as per your screen. You will see that the business is worth £500,000, of which £40,000 relates to the stock. David and Hodges Hardware Limited agree to transfer the stock for nil consideration. Effectively, David agrees to give the stock to the new company free of charge. No amount is therefore included within sales in David's final sole trader accounts. We need to consider whether a tax adjustment should be made. David and Hodges Hardware Limited are connected persons, as David owns both the sole trade business and more than 50% of the shares in the company. Therefore, under Section 177 ITOIA 2005, David should be selling the stock to the company for its market value of £40,000 and should reflect this in his final accounts. As no figure has been included within sales for the transfer of the stock, David's final trading profits should be uplifted by £40,000. Hodges Hardware Limited is also treated as buying the stock for £40,000. However, under Section 178, David and the company can make an election to treat the stock as being sold for the higher of A. its acquisition value, i.e. cost, being £15,000, and B. the amount actually realised on sale, i.e. nil. If the parties make an election, 1. David sells the stock to the new company for £15,000. This will therefore need to be reflected in his sales, so a tax adjustment of £15,000 is required. And 2. Hodges Hardware Limited is treated as buying the stock for £15,000. This election will be advantageous for David as it reduces his final trading profits. An upward adjustment of £15,000 is better than one of £40,000. On the other hand, the election reduces the base cost of the stock for the new company. If, however, David had trading losses in his final year to wipe out any profits, it may be beneficial not to make an election. In the absence of an election, the transfer will take place at market value, and the higher profit on the transfer of the stock will be wiped out by trading losses. Let's finish this part of the lecture by summarising the position on transfers of stock. The way we value stock on a cessation or transfer of trade depends on the identity of the buyer. Where the buyer is a non-UK trader, stock is valued at its open market value. Where the buyer is a UK trader who is not connected with the seller, the stock is treated as sold for its actual selling price. However, in this instance, HMRC insists that the sales consideration is just and reasonable to prevent avoidance of tax. Where the buyer and seller are connected with each other, the stock is treated as sold for its market value at the date of the transfer. In this case, the parties can make a joint election to transfer the stock at the higher of cost or actual selling price. We will finish this session with a practice example. In the example on your screen, you are asked to show the adjustment, if any, which should be made to Tara's final trading profits. Click on the appropriate answer and press continue when you are ready to move on. As stock is transferred along with other assets, under Section 176 ITOIA 2005, the value placed on stock has to be just and reasonable. HMRC will therefore expect the value to be placed on the stock at cessation to be its market value of £100,000. £60,000 has been accounted for in respect of the stock. Therefore, £40,000 will need to be added to the trading profit. That concludes the first part of this lecture on transfers of stock. We will continue in the next part by looking at work in progress.